Okay, we're in Parakeet Beis in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. The Rambam is going to continue in investigating certain halakhas that apply to liquids and their ability to impart in the sitoma. Lach alo called Divrei Hekshar Ochlin, Divrei Kabbalah Hengi Pio Shmua Lamdu. She says, Shenemar, Vakinita Mayim, Alzer Echad, Amayim, the Echad Shar Shiva Mashim. Okay, so he says, anything that has to do with foods becoming obtaining the ability to receive tumah, all this is derived after the oral law. And it is a darshan out from the pasuk. We have a few ton mayim. What first thing they say is that it's not just mayim; it's also the other seven liquids. For instance, like honey. Who she not in a land but ratzon by them. The achar she nekru mina karka. And here are the other conditions. Number one, it only applies when the food was exposed to this water with intent. That's the indicator by the owners. And when they're removed from the ground, meaning no longer attached to the ground. So again, it's intent by the owner that they're exposed to liquid, removed from the ground. Shadavar Yaduash, who, right, it's obvious upon the Ramam, Shenecha Zerah, Shalom Ba'ala of Mayim, Kishubu Chubar, right, Lo Nemar, right, Vakita Mayim, El Achash and Akra, Oklim, and this is Shuram Amashkin. So it's pretty clear, according to the Ramam at least, that that there's no such thing as food, so to speak, that when it's not exposed to water, when it's attached from the ground. So therefore, that's why he says, the halacha is that the idea of liquids imparting tumah onto foods only applies after those foods are actually separated from the ground itself. Okay, halacha beis, kol mashke shenafal ochel b'tchila b'ratzon b'alim. Anytime a liquid falls on a food with the intent of the owners, af li shein sofer b'ratzon, even if at the end they don't really want it to be that way, o shahaya sofer b'ratzon v'en tchilasa b'ratzon, or vice versa, hechsher, nonetheless, it makes the food roi for tumah. Nafal shalom b'rasan. No, let's say it fell out on it without his intent. Eino makshir. It does not cause this food to become tamei. Afilu balal hu peirosav. Even if it's a case where he did it because of some type of necessary. In other words, it's the moisture sets in. Meisakana meitzorach. Whether it's out of danger or because of a need. Vu ein rutzono shubulun. But his intent is for it not to, so to speak, become wet. Hare ilu lo hukshru. Again, because his intentions for them not to become wet, they don't become roi for tumah. Ketsa, so what's an example? Hatomin perosa b'mayim me'aganavim. Let's say I hide my produce in water to protect it from being stolen. Anosim perosa l'shibolos ha'nahar. Let's say I put them in a flowing river, lavian imo, to let's say transport them with me. Enem moksharan, that doesn't make the foods now roi for tumah. So when liquids are, so to speak, removed from the ground without my intent, those liquids are not able to impart some of the fruits. That's why a person or a clay, a vessel or produce that is wet, and then it was picked up, so to speak, from the ground without intent. Even if the foods themselves touch the liquids with intent, the foods do not become tameh, because that water, we'll see what this is soon, that water was not removed from the ground with intent, and therefore it's considered as if the food is, the liquids are still on the ground, and therefore, since they're attached to the ground, they're unable to impart tameh. But let's say the water that's on the person or on the vessel or on the produce was removed from the ground with intent, and I intentionally had the food touch them, then they become roi for tumah. Ketsa. So what's a case? What's an example? So hakofa ka'ara lakosa v'shulsha tudach hamayim shaba. Let's say I turn a bowl upside down on a wall so that I can wash it, okay? And then let's say water collects inside as a result of that. Makshirin, that it can impart tumah. V'meniach v'hen peros, and if I put produce inside it, hukshru v'shen tlushin v'chlidat l'das, because that produce has been removed from the ground and placed inside the vessel with intent. Kafa b'shvil shalol yilaka kosa amayim shaba in a conclusion. But let's say, what it called? Let's say I place the bowl so that I want to protect the wall from any damage, okay, from any water. So then any water that collects on there is not considered as if it's removed from the ground. And therefore, if I put food inside that bowl, in such an instance, it would not be roi for tumah. Niskaven sheyudach hakosa. Let's say my intention is, what it called? I turned the bowl over because I wanted to go ahead and have the wall washed. Excuse me. Imayakosal bias, right? If the wall is the wall of the house, hare ilu makshirin, then it's considered it's considered roi fatuma shatolosh shechibru le'inyan hefsher, because that's removed, that is now attached for the purpose of making it roi. Haru katolosh, it's considered as if it's detached. Into ma'im shalakosol bias zeka ma'im shvekelim, and then what happens is the water that's on the wall of the house is considered like the water that's in the clay. Ma'ya kosol ma'ara. Let's say the kosol is the wall of a cave. She'eno binyan, it's not really considered a real structure. Ela atzma shalkarka, ha'mayim ela atzma shalkarka. Rather, it's considered like the ground. Ha'mayim shalaya, any water on it, inan kitlush min hakarka. That water that's on that wall is still considered as if it's part of the ground. L'chadalad, ha'shocha lishtos, right? Let's say a person bends down to drink. Ha'mayim olam b'svama b'viv, tlushim b'rtzano. So the water that, so to speak, goes up onto his mustache and his mouth is considered to have been removed with intent. Who? Because it's obvious. Because we know that once someone drinks, because then the water will, so to speak, come up over his mouth and lips. Therefore, he's drinking with intent. And therefore, it's considered as if he uprooted the water with intent. About any water that moves up on his nose or his beard or his head, is not considered detached from the ground with any type of intent. Right? Let's say a person fills a jug up with water from a well. Right? Any water that comes up after it, that over on the rope, that he's basically wrapping around what it called the opening, or the rope that is required to lift up the well water. All that water is considered to be removed with intent. Yes, sir, al-tzorcha. Any extra water, that I don't need, so to speak, any water that's on the part of the rope that I don't need to lift up the well water, the bucket, and it's lushim ratzah, is not considered removed with intent. Nazatachas atzinor, let's say I put a jug underneath a drain pipe, kol mayim sha'al gaba uva chaval, so any water that's on the outside of it and on the rope, and it's lushim ratzah, are not considered removed with intent, l'fikach im machshirin, that's why they would not produce impart tumah into a food that they touch. Let's say rain falls upon a person. Even if that person is a primary source of tumah, right? So the water that falls on him, even though it flows from the top to the bottom, tahorin, it's tahor as long as he shakes it off as quickly as possible with all his strength. Let's say it's flowing and going down very, very slow, then it doesn't contract, then it contracts tumah. When it's considered tahor, ina machshirin, it's not able to go ahead and impart stoma because it's not detached onto him with intent. However, if he shakes out the water off his clothes, that's considered intent. Let's say I stood underneath a drain pipe that's dripping out water in order to cool myself off or to wash myself off, then harayza the ratzon, that's considered intent. And therefore, if the person's tame, the water that touches him from the drain pipe would also be considered tamar. Let's say you have a barrel that's filled with produce, v'yarad hadala fasocha, and water from a drain pipe of a roof falls into it. You should pour the water off the fruits, v'ena makshirin, and not considered to be producing tamar, even though his intent was that the water should be inside the barrel, ad shir hamayim alayim, until he pours that water off. Halacha ches, Areva sheyarad hadala flasofa. Let's say I have water from a drain pipe that flows onto a trough that's used for kneading. Hamayim anitazin, that's safa meleah. So the drops that kind of spray off of it and the water that flows over the edge in a tlushim ratzon is not considered removed with intent. Nutla l'shafcha. Let's say I picked it up in order to spill out the water. Hamayim shevasofa, and in ratzon, the water that's inside is not considered there with intent. Hinicha, all right, let's say he puts it down because he wants the water to go out. Shiyarat adala fasocha, right? Hanitazin v'atzafin shepasocha and tushim ratzon. So again, the water that sprays or any of the water that's spraying or that's guiding over it, is that considered removed with intent? V'natlo l'shafcha, but let's say he picks up the trough in order to pour out the water, then areilu makshirin. It's at that point that it can make foods tameh, shekema shel shafcha v'mkoma, because since he didn't spill it out in the place it normally is, harei t'lashem b'ratzon, since he picked it up to then pour it out, it's considered like he's removing it from the ground with intent. Let's say a person takes his vessels and puts them into the mikvah, or he washes his clothes in a cave of water. raglav ein on kitlushin ratzon. So the water that what do you call it that that goes on his hands or on his feet is not considered to have been. Excuse me. The water that's on his hands is considered with intent, and then the water on his feet is considered not with intent. Let's say fruits fall into water. And I stick my hand in the nutlan. I take it out. Lo hokshu. It doesn't make them susceptible to tumah. The nuchishav sheyutchu. Right. Let's say his intent was to rinse them off. Yadav hokshu. Yadav hokshu amayim. Shabi yadav. Shamayim. Shabi yadav. The shal peiros are in kedushim maratzon. So we say the water, what do you call it, that's on his hand and on the produce is considered to have been removed from the separated from the ground with intent. Let's say a person puts produce into water on purpose. So if it's water that's on the ground, it doesn't make them susceptible to tumah, as long as it's there in the water. Let's say he takes them out. Now they're roy for tumah with the water that's on them and on his hand. Because now they'll say he removed it with intent. So what's an example? Snown or lefes. Let's say I have a case of a radish or a turnip. Shehu b'socha ma'ara. Right, and let's say it's inside a cave. Nida madichaso sham. Let's say a woman who's a nida, she can wash it there. Who taller, and they remain taller. Halaso. Let's say she takes it out of the water. Kol shehu min amayim nitzma b'mada. Anything that has water on it at all is tame through touching. Fine. Lachy beis kupa shehi malea turmusin. Let's say you have a container that's filled with these types of beans. Unisuno socha mikva. Let's say it's placed inside a mikva. Moshit yado atame. So a person who's tame can take his hand and put it in. Benotol turmusin b'tocha and take the beans out. Bein tamar and their tar, they should look sure because they were never susceptible to tamar. Sherei mitocha natal because he took it out from within. Bein ritzon of amayim shalem, he has no intent for the water that's on them. Hela min amayim, let's say he took the entire container out of the water. Hanogim b'kubat kubat tmeyan, any touching of the container is tamay. Sherei hukshu amayim shel kubat shel ritzono. Because now we're going to say the water that's inside the container is now roi for tamar because it was removed with intent. Ushar kol turmusim b'shochu kubat torin. Now while that's true by the water, the rest of the beans that are inside the container are still considered to be tall. That ends Paragraph Bays, and we will continue with Paragraph Gimel next time.